Have you ever truly grasped the spiritual danger that is associated with those who would pervert, twist, lessen, omit, or ignore God's word? It's very dangerous. Do you see the warnings in Scripture as a safeguard for you? How do you respond to those who would relay these truths to you?
Welcome to this Tuesday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And today is Letter Day, where we have a chance to hear what our listeners are saying about Equipping the Saints.
And Dave, I have a note from Miles and Susan in Wisconsin. They write, "Dear Greg and staff, thank you for holding fast to the word as it is written and proclaiming and clearly explaining it for many to hear and understand. Your faithful work is a blessing to many of us. May God continue to give you guidance and strength in his work. With love, Susan and Miles." Well, Susan and Miles, thank you so much for your encouraging words. We are so thankful to the Lord for the privilege to share his word, and we're so thankful that he is using it to bless you. So thank you so much for your encouragement, your support, and your prayers. It is so greatly appreciated.
And Greg, today we continue our detour from our study in Colossians chapter 2 concerning false teachers to look at our Lord's warning concerning false prophets.
Yes, we will, Dave. So let's get right to our passage and turn to Matthew chapter 7, and we're looking at verses 15 to 20.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, today's message is one you'll want to share with a friend. Just tell them to visit etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. They'll find today's broadcast as well as a host of other archived broadcasts waiting there for them. Our web address again is simply etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
We don't want to think badly about people, and that's good. We don't want to do that. But sometimes we can be naive, and we can be taken captive. We can be duped, in a sense. We saw in Colossians, see to it that we're not persuaded or deluded by persuasive arguments, right? So he says here, beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing. We'll see that in a minute. But inwardly are ravenous wolves. Here, the Lord Jesus shows us what's going on the inside. God sees the inside. We don't see the heart. Man looks at the outside, but God sees the heart. So don't presume you know what's going on, but we look at what God says and we understand. He says, inwardly, this is the part you can't see, they are ravenous wolves. The term ravenous speaks of vicious and destructive. It also came to carry another sense, which we don't see in our English translations here, of a swindler or a robber, someone who's violently greedy. They are violently greedy on the inside, these false prophets. They're ravenous. They're like ravenous wolves. You know, wolves would sneak up on the sheep and violently devour them for their own food, right? That's the illustration. That's the metaphor. We know the Apostle Paul, in his final words to the Ephesian elders, he called them from Miletus to Ephesus, and he says in Acts 20:20, "And I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock." They're going to come in, and they're going to attack like a wolf attacks a herd of sheep. They are violently destructive for their own gain. You need to see that. That's why we need to see the warning is very, very important. You know, if you're a good parent, you warn your children, watch out for that dog. That's a mean dog. It'll bite you, right? You know, don't pet that dog, right? You know, and God cares for us. He says, turn away from these false teachers. They come to you in sheep's clothing. And again, we'll talk about that, but they are inwardly ravenous wolves. He's commanded these non-believing Jews who are an evil and adulterous generation, he's commanded to enter by the narrow gate. He's commanded them, but these ravenous wolves are there to turn them away, to destroy them spiritually for their own internal and external gain. So then, this is a threat. The Lord is sharing about this threat. And I ask you today, where is the genuine balanced concern in churches these days? Now, I'm not talking about bandwagon churches that always talk about false teachers all the time, every time you go, it's always false teachers, or ministries that are always about them. I'm not talking about an unbalanced view. I'm talking about where are churches that are balanced in warning and sharing the word of God to protect the flock. So then, We are to take heed. We are to turn our attention from false teachers because they are ravenous wolves on the inside. They're like that. They are externally spiritually dangerous to us, but internally they're doing it for this vicious gain. Now, the Apostle Paul would even say, hey, you know, I got to remind you again about this stuff because it's the right thing to do. He would tell the Philippians, Philippians 3, verse 1, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things again is no trouble to me, but it is a safeguard to you. Beware of the dogs. Beware of the evil workers. Beware of the false circumcision. Saying, beware of those bad guys. Indeed, in pointing out false teaching, Paul makes it clear to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:6. In pointing out these things to the brethren, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus. Pastors and teachers and elders should be pointing out these things when they come upon the flock, saying, this is not good, this is bad, don't buy into it. They should be pointing it out. They should be showing you through the Word of God why it's wrong. Have you ever truly grasped the spiritual danger that is associated with those who would pervert, twist, lessen, omit, or ignore God's Word? It's very dangerous. Do you see the warnings in Scripture as a safeguard for you? How do you respond to those who would relay these truths to you? We're to turn our attention away from. You know, false teaching, somehow it's got some kind of attraction to us. It does somehow in our flesh, whatever it is. It's deceitful. We're to turn away from it. We're to turn our attention away from it. And now notice as we continue, he's going to reveal how we can spot them. How we can spot these false teachers. The first thing he's going to say is they're counterfeits. They come deceptively. Look at this. Beware the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing. Now, certainly we think of sheep, you know, as the metaphor as we are his sheep, right? We are his people. That sheep represent those who have been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. They are those who have entered through the door of the sheep, Jesus Christ, John 10. They are those who have believed in Jesus. We are his sheep. We are the sheep of his. Now, certainly that's true. But here, you know, some would say it's just talking about people who claim to be believers. But I think it goes much farther than that. This term sheep's clothing or sheep's garb spoke of the woolen outer garment that shepherds would wear. This is the garments that shepherds would wear. They come to you portraying themselves as shepherds of the flock. They portray themselves falsely as shepherds. They come to you in shepherd's garb. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing. They are representing themselves to be shepherds of the flock, spiritually speaking. Beware of the false prophets who make themselves out to be God's shepherds, who portray themselves to be shepherds, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. We know that the false prophets we saw in Jeremiah 23, they claim to speak for God, but they don't. He says, I did not send these prophets. I didn't send them. If I did, they would have spoke my word and they would have turned my people from their sin. It's a great principle, by the way. Jude, in making every attempt to write to us about our common salvation, says, certain people have crept in unnoticed into the church. Those who long beforehand marked out for condemnation, ungodly persons who turn the grace of God into licentiousness. Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:13, but evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse. Imposters. We know from 2 Corinthians 11 that there are false apostles disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And it's no wonder even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it's not surprising if his servants do the same. So then, they're imposters. They come in sheep's clothing, the shepherd's garb, but they are not who they appear to be. Certainly, that was true of the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They came as the religious leaders in shepherd's garb in that sense. Yet they were imposters. And the Lord would expose them. He would say, woe to you, Matthew 23, those Pharisees, those false shepherds. So then, they're dangerous. Beware. Turn away from them. In contrast, they're like ravenous wolves. Now, why would someone do this? Why do you think someone would do this? Why would someone deliberately deceive God's people? Why would they do that? We think about that. We think, oh, yikes, who would have a heart to do that? What's going on in there? Why would they do that? Well, God's word really reveals the answer. We know from 1 Timothy chapter 4, these people who fall away from the faith pay attention to deceitful spirits by means of the hypocrisy of liars seared in their own consciences as a branding iron. They got their consciences seared. We know that. We know 1 Timothy chapter 6 talks about men of depraved mind. Actually, let's turn it, because this is pretty clear. 1 Timothy chapter 6. We'll start with verse 3. This will show their motivation. 1 Timothy 6, verse 3. If anyone advocates a different doctrine and does not agree with sound words, those of our Lord Jesus Christ, and with the doctrine conforming to godliness, he is conceited and understands nothing, but he has a morbid interest in controversial questions and disputes about words, out of which arise envy, strife, abusive language, evil suspicions, there's the fruit of that, and constant friction between men of depraved mind and deprived of the truth. Listen to this. Who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. They think that being godly is a means of getting money. It's a means of gaining. We know in 2 Peter and Jude very clearly that these hold a form of godliness, but yet they've rejected the truth. We know 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 3, in their greed they will exploit you with false words. We know they have eyes full of adultery and that never cease from sin, enticing unstable souls, having hearts trained in greed. That's what's going on. Like Balaam, they love the wages of unrighteousness. They've got an internal greed that drives them to deceive the flock. We can't see that, but it's there. And it manifests even in a desire to have followers, to have spiritual followers. Acts chapter 20, Paul would say, I know after my departure, verse 29, that savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from your own selves men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. They're greedy. They're greedy for the gain, the fleshly gain through women, whatever it might be. They're greedy for the gain of money. They're greedy for the gain of being looked up to and seen in a certain way. That's what's going on. These are vile men and women who appear on the outside to be shepherds of Christ. They promise freedom in Christ, but they themselves are slaves to sin. See that in 2 Peter. Outwardly, they look like God's shepherds, but inwardly, they're incredibly wicked. So, the Lord Jesus says, beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. Just say, okay, I recognize that. I want to beware of it. I do. But how can I spot them? I can't see the insides. I can't see their greed. I can't see that. How do I spot them? Well, Jesus reveals that their deeds will make them known. Verse 16, back in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7, verse 16. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Jesus just says, this is the way it is. He says, you'll know them by their fruits, verse 16, and he repeats that. He repeats that in verse 20. So then you will know them by their fruits. He gives the illustration. And this term know, epinosis, speaks of a full true knowledge. You'll get it. You'll get it. You'll know them by their fruits. Their fruit will reveal who they really are. You'll know it. And if you're on guard, then you are to turn away from them. And so he gives this illustration. He says, grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, are they? When's the last time you went to go get fruit from a thorn bush? It's not going to happen, right? You look at that, it's not a grapevine, right? And he says, nor are figs gathered from thistles, are they? The term thistle, or thorn bushes, spoke of prickly weeds. Thistle spoke of a three-pronged deal that was really painful. The implication is these false teachers are like that. They are thorny weeds. They are prickly briars. So he gives this principle that one's fruit will reflect one's true nature. We have the analogy from his creation. Good trees bear good fruit, bad trees bear bad fruit. Then he gives the absolute reality that you can bank on and will enable you to spot them. A good tree cannot, verse 18, produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. It is impossible for a good tree to produce bad fruit and for a bad tree to produce good fruit. The fruit depends upon the true nature of the tree. You see, all throughout Scripture we see this principle that not only applies to false prophets, but to false believers. Indeed, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus has already made it clear that those who are truly of his kingdom will manifest the nature of the king. He's made that clear. Blessed are those. Blessed are those. Those are true kingdom citizens. They're going to manifest the nature of the king. Now, this idea of fruit bearing is not hard to understand. Well, let's take a look at a passage that's really helpful for us. John 15. Jesus says, I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it that it may bear more fruit. That's an example, right? But it's speaking of believers, you know, and then those who may claim to be but aren't. He says, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. It's resting in Jesus, trusting in Jesus. That's the only way to bear fruit, as we'll see, is to trust in the Lord Jesus, to rely on him completely. We saw this last week. As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. You received him by total faith. You didn't doubt at all. When you actually got saved, you actually believed that he was God and he would save you. You believe that. In the same way, we walk day to day by faith, and that will produce fruit in us. He says here, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. The implication is whoever you are, if it's God's shepherds, if they abide in Jesus, they're going to produce fruit. Each and every one of us, if we abide in Jesus, we're going to produce fruit. There's going to be the nature of our Savior manifest. Not perfectly. Not perfectly. We know that. We trip up. We mess up. We know that. We know that oh so well, more than anyone else, right? But by and large, we should be producing good fruit. Now, Jesus shares this parallel teaching in Luke chapter 6. Turn there also. Because it helps us explain what this fruit really is. Luke chapter 6, verse 42. Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck that is in your eye, when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take out the log out of your eye, then you'll see clearly to take the speck that is in your brother's eye. Verse 43, for there is no good tree which produces bad fruit, nor on the other hand, a bad tree which produces good fruit. Luke 6:44, for each tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor they pick grapes from a briar bush. The good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good, and the evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil, for his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. And why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and acts upon them, I will show you whom he is like. And he gives the example of the one who builds his house, you know, on the rock versus the sand. He's talking about the fruit of this are people who hear his word and do it. That's the good fruit. They hear the word of God and do it. God's word equips us for every good work. It addresses everything for life and godliness. And when God is working in us through his word, it's going to produce good fruit. It's going to produce good fruit. You see, good fruit is manifest in the true believer when he abides in Christ and obeys his word. Let me share a couple passages. Galatians 5:22. We see the deeds of the flesh are evident, but the fruit of the Spirit is, right? That fruit that's manifest of the Spirit of God working in us. In Ephesians 5, we're to be walking as children of light, and the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 1, the fruit of righteousness comes through Jesus Christ. In Colossians chapter 1, and we've seen this, when we allow God's word to fill us in a sense, when we are controlled by the full knowledge of his will. Think about that. In every circumstance, if God's word and his will is controlling my thinking, I'm going to act differently. It's not perfectly, but that's what we desire to do. And if that happens, one of the evidences will be bearing fruit in every good work. Colossians 1:10. We've been created for good works that we would walk in them, Ephesians 2. Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, every bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot produce good fruit. He's saying you can spot the false shepherds by their fruit. And the same goes for believers, but he's not saying warning, go out and expect everyone's life. I'm not saying that. He's just talking about false teachers, false apostles, or false prophets, as he says here. Now, we need to remember that sometimes fruit, good or bad, takes time to come. Sometimes that fruit doesn't show up for a while. If you're a true believer, you're going to have good fruit. It may be slow to come, but it's going to come. And these false teachers, their bad fruit may not show up right away, but it will show up. Galatians 5:19 again, the deeds of the flesh are evident. That's fruit. It's fruit, as we'll say. Ephesians chapter 5, we see the reality that we were darkness, we're to walk in the light. And the fruit of the light is not evil and sin. So with this in mind, let's take a look at some of the bad fruit Scripture reveals that we can spot in the false teachers. Turn to Matthew chapter 6, just back a little bit. These are things you can spot in false teachers. Bad fruit that you could go, whoa, that's bad. Turn away, turn away. We see this in the Sermon on the Mount, that the hypocrites practice their religion to be seen by man. That's bad fruit. Matthew 6, beware of practicing your righteousness to be noticed by them. When therefore you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and the streets, that they may be honored by men. Down to verse 5. And when you pray, you are not to be as the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues on the street corners in order to be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. That was verse 5 of Matthew 6. Paul would say in Galatians chapter 1, if I wanted the approval of men, I wouldn't be a servant of Christ. It is antithetical to serving Christ, to want people to elevate you up. When you see that, that is bad fruit, turn away from it. When you see it, it bothers me. I see people at these websites, some ministries, their pictures everywhere and everywhere. I don't know their hearts, but Christ should be exalted. We need to be careful who gets the glory, who is exalted. We see this, a lot of slick, showy sermons rather than the preaching of the Word of God. If we share, we're to speak the very oracles of God. 1 Peter 4:11. We're to preach the word in season and out of season. That's the right kind of fruit, by the way. But these guys are disobedient. They try to please men all at the same time, saying, Lord, Lord, didn't we do all this? You can spot them also because they share their own worldly wisdom rather than God's word. God's word exposes that. They're continually disobedient in not sharing the word of God. That's fruit. Remember Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? If a shepherd is told by the Lord Jesus to preach the word in season, is told to reprove and rebuke and exhort, is told to share the word of God, is told to do so, and doesn't do so, that is fruit. That is fruit. Jeremiah 23, then they would have announced my words to my people and would have turned them back from their evil ways and the evil of their deeds. Ezekiel 34 talks about those shepherds. Woe to them who feed themselves and do not feed the flock. Should not the shepherds be feeding the flock? That's the word of God. The reality is, you can spot them by their fruit. Their deeds are going to reveal it. Their actions are going to show you whether they're obedient to the Lord or not. They're going to show you their deeds.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you. Thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, today we've seen our Lord's warning concerning false prophets and his description of their inward evil motives that we cannot see. So how do we spot them?
Well, Dave, as we've begun to see today, the Lord Jesus says you'll know them by their fruits. But what does that look like? Well, you need to join us for tomorrow's broadcast as we conclude our message in Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 to 20.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.